listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
December 12th, 2020. I can't believe it's December 12th. It just seems like the year has gone by, even as egregious as the things that have happened this year, since March. It just does not seem like, Christmas is approaching. I look at and I see my neighbors have Christmas lights up, and which I think is wonderful. But anyway, it just seems like it just crept up on me. Anyway, it is, as I said, December 12th, and this is Deanna Spingola. And as always, I'm broadcasting from the rainy. It's rainy today. At least it's not snowing. We did have a little bit of snow, not much thus far, but I am in the Chicago suburbs. As I've mentioned before, Yahoo Groups is disappearing in 3 days. On the 15th of December, it's going to disappear forever. And many people receive my email messages, notifications of who I'm going to have on the program, and you won't be receiving those anymore unless you sign up or subscribe to the new list, which I have included in the very last email notification, which I sent out Thursday morning. That's your last one. So if you're on the Yahoo list, and you don't subscribe to the new list, you're not going to receive those email notifications. So anyway, I hope that you will subscribe. And as always, I'm very happy that you join me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I've been here for 10 plus years, which I have enjoyed, and I hope I continue to enjoy speaking with the wonderful guests that I've been able to have on the program, have been honored to have on the program. I also have two other websites of interest. One, SpingolaSpeaks.net, which is managed and put together by a wonderful gentleman. He is just absolutely amazing. I love him. He's just dear. Wonderful. He has spent so much time creating that website and making certain that there are other things of interest that are for the people who visit the website. Health tips and just everything that you can imagine. And it's managed by a friend, a dear, dear kind person. I hope that you also visit screeningatsandyhook.net, where I have gathered together a lot of information. A lot of people thought that was some government psyop, but I hope that you will, and it's been, 8 years? Okay, it'll be 8 years in 2 days. So I do hope that you will visit that website. I think that it's imperative that people, in order to make, draw conclusions, you have to be objective and look at both sides of every situation. Then use your head and see, okay, where does the evidence lead? What research is really right on? Who's done the work and who's just made the ridiculous claims within 12 hours of the event? Anyway, enough of my preaching and teaching. If you wish to ask questions during the program, then you may do that through email, just email comment or comments at spingola.email. You may also visit our friendly, mostly friendly, chat room at spingola.chatango.com. You know where the archives are. They're on my website. Visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, and you will see who I've had on the program, who I'm going to have on the program, and all the relevant links for their subject matter. It's all there for your perusal. Anyway, our first guest today is Alan Stevo. The last name is S-T-E-V-O, and you may find many of his articles at Mrs. M-I-S-E-S dot org, and I will post the exact URL in the chat room. It is also on the schedule page. And he is the author of Face Masks in One Lesson, which is available at the website that we love to hate. You know, the one that starts with A, that's run by somebody that likes to censor. Anyway, Alan, welcome to the program.
Deanna, it's a joy to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's wonderful of you to take the time out of your schedule to talk about this, because it is so imperative that people know about face masks. And 37 states have face mask mandates. Now, I originally had a face mask, and I wore it a couple times. I put a sign, I put a message on my face mask, and it said, reducing my oxygen for your comfort. And then I thought, you know, I'm not going to do this. So I threw it away. I don't own a mask. I don't intend to wear a mask. I'm not going to do that. I want to breathe. I'm not going to ruin my immune system, because some governor, says that I should. So let's have your thoughts. Well, you've got my thoughts.
It sounds, Deanna, like you set a higher standard for yourself, and you did it with determination there by saying, you know, I'm going to get rid of that mask. I very much admire that. The book you mentioned, Face Masks in One Lesson, it is available on the website I will not name. It's available really on any place. It's available any place you buy your books online.
Right.
Barnes & Noble, if that's one that's allowed to be named, I'll mention that one too. But there's
Absolutely.
Almost anywhere they buy it, they could buy it. So they don't have to. Most people buy it on that one website, but you don't have to buy it there.
You know
buy
what?
It anywhere you feel like. Or, yeah.
I think that's a better idea. Don't buy it at that A site. Buy it somewhere else. Doggone. Let's stand up for ourselves, right?
I like that thinking.
Okay. So, tell us about
what I most want.
Go ahead.
Whether they buy it or not, what I most want is to be able to have a chance to just kind of speak to those listeners of yours, though, and to share my ideas that if some listeners, they may love wearing their face mask. For them, I hope they keep one as long as they feel comfortable. But for the listeners that never want to wear a face mask again, that feel annoyed by the behavior, that think it's maybe even a little silly and even anti-sciency, no matter what anyone else says, that book's for them, and I hope I'll have a few wise words for them today that can help them to never again wear a face mask. That's my hope for the next few minutes we get together.
Okay. That's what I hope too. And of course that's why you're on the program, to talk to us about this. Tell us what you're gonna tell us.
Okay, that works for me, Deanna. I was writing, you mentioned Mises.org, a place that I love to write, with fantastic, free market ideas, and there was a wonderful man who ran for president once upon a time, Ron Paul, that some of your listeners I know very well. He helped kind of popularize that site somewhat. And there's a similar site by a founder of the Mises Institute, LouRockwell.com. I write quite a bit at LouRockwell.com, and I've written 40 or 50 published pieces this year there, mostly about the lockdowns, various mandates, and especially about face masks. And people kept writing me saying, hey, how do I stop wearing a face mask? This is the most annoying thing in my life. And others would say, this clearly doesn't work. Look at this study. Look at that study. Look at this study. And others would say, this clearly works. Look at this study. And kind of putting all those studies together, it's evident at this point that these face masks don't work. There's the mechanistic studies. That's one kind of study that says, hey, in theory, these face masks should work. And there's a different kind of study with laboratory-confirmed results, randomized controlled trials. They say unequivocally, at this point, we know these face masks don't work. They haven't stopped the spread of COVID. They wouldn't stop the spread of other respiratory viruses. So from Zhao, we could look at the Zhao study of May 2020 in the CDC journal, Emerging Infectious Disease. That study says, the authors of the study say, hey, we're trying to figure out, because we're serious about fighting COVID, what can we do to make sure we are using the best possible practices instead of superstition? They determined one of those superstitions is a face mask. And they said, they don't only say face masks don't work. They say in that May 2020 version of Emerging Infectious Disease, a CDC journal, they say face masks can actually increase the spread. And they point to things from a World Health Organization circular from 10 years earlier saying, listen, if you're not following these kinds of protocol, this face mask can actually be more harmful. Deanna, I'm going to tell you a few things that are in that study regarding the protocol, and I'd like to ask you if you've ever seen even one person following these rules. One would be hand contact. Once that mask is on you, you're not supposed to touch that mask with an unwashed hand. Another one would be single use. If the mask is meant for single use, it must be taken off after one use. Another one is nose and mouth. You're not supposed to be touching your nose and mouth when it's on. Or the other one is that your hands always need to be sterilized when they're touching the mask. It should never become damp. It should never become damp. If that mask becomes damp, you must remove it and replace it with another mask. I've personally never seen anyone follow this protocol that this study says might actually spread COVID-19 if not followed. Have you ever seen anyone follow those kinds of rules with masks? Yeah.
No. And the other thing is that you are really breathing in your own exhaust, which is terrible. You're breathing in your own CO2. It's a terrible idea. It's an awful idea. It's not scientifically feasible.
What you said right there, that's even more valuable. And these studies don't even start to touch the tip of the iceberg there, right? We're not asking, what do we do to ourselves when we put this mask on? What do we do to our children when we don't let our children see our beautiful faces and get used to our expressions? What do we do to our children when they're surrounded by masked people all day? Or what do we do to our connections to others in society when we do this, right? These types of questions about what are we doing to our own health? What are we doing to our own well-being? These aren't being asked. It's not even touching the tip of the iceberg, this damage we're doing to ourselves with these masks. I hope any listeners that were on the fence will now start to feel less on the fence and more certain that this face mask is not the solution to the world's troubles.
It is totally ridiculous. And as you say, children need to see a smile. And I have seen images of babies whose parents have put a mask on them, and it breaks my heart that they would be so idiotic as to follow a ridiculous government mandate and not be able to see their baby smile. A baby smiling at their parent is the most wonderful, beautiful sight in the world. And I'm very emotional about this. I love children. My children are the best things that ever happened in my life. And for parents to mask their children, I believe is a crime. I think they're guilty of child abuse.
I'm on the same page with you on that one. And, it points to a sad trend in our culture to, you know, we don't know exactly what happens to a child after 1 month of masking or 9 months of masking. We really don't know. We'll learn. 10 years from now, there will be studies about what this period meant. And this says, this masking you speak of children, it says something sad about our culture, and it's how comfortable, additional to what you've just pointed out, it's how comfortable we are in experimenting on our children. And we do that in so many ways that just are undeserved.
Right. I agree. Terrible thing. I think that that we need to do the research behind what people in authority, quote unquote, tell us to do. We have been, most of us, educated in government schools. Government and corporations are in bed together. The ABC agencies of the United States government were created to protect corporate interests and finances. And the research is available. And people don't read anymore. They're too busy being indoctrinated with their media. And it's too bad. It's really sad because they're going to pay the price and they won't even realize the part that they have had in contributing to whatever happens negative happens to their children.
Thankfully, there's media sources like you out there, and a wonderful man in southern Texas said, "Hey, I think we need to make sure you end up on this channel, Alan." And he and his whole family, they like to have you guys on in the background all day long.
Right.
And when I hear stories like that, I just know how this battle is going. There's all this disinformation out there, but I see this year has been, what I've heard from my friends in the vaccine safety movement or in the homeschool movement, what I've heard from them is that their numbers have never grown like this year. Eyes have been opened like never before this year. That their numbers are surging. And what I hear from my friends in alternative media is the same. They've never seen years like this. Maybe you guys are experiencing the same. And this is just a magnificent story of hope to me. And this book I wrote, Face Mask in One Lesson, it doesn't say, here's the way to change the world. It doesn't say, let's wait for someone else to come along and handle things. It's about how does one individual, using a few tools from this book, about how to go through life unmasked, how does that individual change his or her own life and start to have some ripples in the world around him? That's it. That's all it's asking for, just to say, can you go through this day unmasked? And it's doing simple things such as where you are, Deanna. You get much opposition, may I ask? You get much opposition to not wearing a face mask, may I ask?
One time I had an issue. I didn't back down. I refused to back down. But I go to the post office. I go to the UPS office. And nobody says a word to me. In fact, I smile at people, I hold the door for them, and nobody said anything. Nobody has said, hey, where's your mask? Except this one instance. Okay, we are going to a break. We'll be right back in a jiffy.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good.
Alrighty, we are back. And our first guest today is Alan Stevo. And he writes for Mrs. He writes for Lou Rockwell, both sites that I follow. And he's written a fabulous book. And one of the chapters in your book says, mandatory doesn't mean mandatory. So talk to us about that.
I will, Deanna. Thank you. That's something that you were saying right before we went to the break, was that it speaks to this perfectly. You mentioned you're in Illinois earlier in the broadcast.
And, yes.
That's a state that the governor's been so vocal and tough in the media, as if he's trying to run for a national office right now. I don't know. Except we know from your own confirmation that no matter how mandatory he claims that face mask is, you've been able to go through parts of your life unmasked without much trouble. And this is mandatory doesn't mean mandatory. We're in a period where you might see a young person, many people who've listened have probably spoken to someone who said, this is literally awful. This will literally kill me. Right? The language feels dull sometimes. And young people approach the language and say, I want to make the English language mean more and have more effect. And Hemingway was complaining about this 80 years ago, that the language feels like it's been made dull with poor usage. And the same language is used by bureaucrats to say whatever they feel like is going to be mandatory. And these face mask policies, they have mandatory on them, but they're not mandatory. We can see that there are face mask exemptions a mile wide, written into almost every policy. I know of only two stores that do not have face mask exemptions very clearly written into their policies. One being a regional chain in the West Coast called Sprouts, and the other being Menards, the national hardware store. Beyond those, I know of no store, no county, no jurisdiction that has no exemptions. And those exemptions, they may be anything from in Michigan, if you're at a religious service, you do not need to wear a face mask. Also, if you're voting, you do not need to wear a face mask, as in the Michigan law. To Sonoma County, California, which says if you have difficulty breathing in a face mask, you never need to wear a face mask. And all you need to do really is to say, get a hold of that exemption, get a hold of that policy, which is very easy with a quick internet search in almost all situations. Or if we're speaking about a private company, you can ask them, hey, I see you have a face mask policy. Can you explain it to me a little? May I read a written copy of it? If you look at it, in 10 minutes, you can very easily see that there are many, many exemptions in there. And many people can determine where they might fit in those exemptions. And my favorite way to get through a face mask compliance checkpoint, I think the best way, if you're in the right situation for it, the right place, you have the right personality, is to say, I'm not going to wear that silly face mask. It doesn't work. If you don't want my money, I'll go elsewhere. That's my favorite way. But this book, Face Masks in One Lesson, is about a different way that makes it possible to every single time get through that checkpoint, to shop every single time, to get on the airplane every single time, to go on jury duty if you want to go on jury duty. Whatever the situation may be, it goes through at school, work, how to negotiate those situations. And in a grocery store, what works for many people, whether it be the Sonoma County, California type exemption that you have difficulty breathing or whatever it may be. You may find that you have panic attacks with a face mask. You may have headaches with a face mask. You may have breathing difficulties. You're entitled to say to the grocery store manager, before you go through the door, you can give a quick call, a 3-minute phone call, and say, hey, I see your face mask policy. I have a medical concern. I'm unable to wear that face mask safely. Can I come shopping with you today? I've heard reports over and over again, thousands in number now, that this has been enough for virtually every manager to simply step aside for that person. Say, yes, no problem. Please speak to the person at the door immediately. Tell them my name. Say I sent you. Say it will be no problem. And if anyone in the store gives you trouble, just say you spoke to me. Over and over again, this has happened by simply invoking an exemption. The book is about that. That's the nature of the book. Does that make sense why I say face masks are not mandatory, Deanna?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. But when people hear that word, they think, oh, this is, I have to do this without a moment's thought about their own health situation. And really, with the HIPAA law and the things that have been put in place, a person may not inquire about your health. If you say, I have a health issue wherein I cannot wear a mask, they cannot say, well, what is that health issue? It's none of their business. I hate to be rude
you're so right.
We do have a break. We'll be right back.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts.
All right, we are back with our guest, Alan Stevo, and he is the author of Face Masks in One Lesson. And we're talking about mandatory doesn't really mean mandatory. It just means mandatory for those that are easily governed, I guess.
Ooh, that is so well put. That is so well put. You were, before the break, Deanna, you were talking about HIPAA, and then you said such a nice thing. You said, it's none of their business. And people talk about HIPAA, people talk about ADA, and those are useful to know because those people get trained in them, those people working these compliance checkpoints. But HIPAA and ADA are based on a sense of common decency. That's what they are underlying. You don't ask people private questions if you don't need to know their business. That's just a sense of common decency. And you, Deanna, you hit the nail on the head when you said, it's just none of their business. Someone at a compliance checkpoint, you say to them, I'm unable to wear a face mask safely. And that's a key word that gets you through. It'll open many doors for you. I'm unable to wear a face mask safely. Well, what's wrong with you? You look healthy. That's none of their business. Sir,
that's right.
I'm unable to wear a face mask safely. I don't want to speak any more about my personal issues. And if they push, may I speak to someone else, please? That's
right.
It's none of their business, just as Deanna said.
I hate to be rude or anything, but or negative, but the person who was challenging me about my not wearing a mask probably weighed about 400 pounds. And I'm thinking, she's asking me about my health and challenging me. And obviously she had her own health issues, and I certainly didn't say anything, of course. I was just defending my right not to have to wear a face mask, something that was very, very unhealthy.
Deanna, you hit the nail on the head there as well. Staying healthy when there's respiratory viruses going around. You know, maybe some of your listeners might say this is another virus. Maybe COVID-19 is something very special. I don't know exactly what the answer to that is. I know many people have established opinions on that. Nonetheless, there's ways still that we know as humans that we can keep healthy. And ever since there was a Princess cruise ship, I think it was called Grand Princess, It had something like 700 cases of COVID on it. And it was marooned off the coast of the U.S. for a while, and we were able to figure out from that early situation, we were able to have a very closed environment. We knew what people were eating more or less and what the lifestyle was like more or less. We were able to figure out very early on who's getting affected, who isn't. And we found very quickly, for whatever reason, COVID is not going to kill babies. It's not going to kill anyone under 18, very few instances. It's probably not going to kill anyone under 40. So there's some kind of correlation with age. But you know what?
Right.
People can't prevent their age. They can't affect that. But something that can be affected, you just brought up, and this is a very large issue with COVID. We're talking about the silliness of masks, which do nothing to stop the spread of COVID, which may even increase the spread of COVID, unfortunately. And we can't have this debate about it. We can't have a discussion about it. If you even speak about it, you must be some crazy conspiracy theorist. Yet this is what the science clearly shows. But what we're not talking about is obesity. Obesity is a huge issue. And I am not a tiny individual. I like to lift heavy weights, and I like to put my back into work, and I have a little bit of extra meat on me to do that. And that makes me happy. But this year, trying to figure out the best ways to protect me and my family, I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to lose a little bit of weight. I've been meaning to lately. I'm going to make this a little extra excuse to lose a little bit of weight. And not everyone can do that. I get it. But that's more the way we should be looking. Instead of saying, put this silly 10-cent polypropylene mask from Wuhan province on your face. That's what was meant to happen to protect you. Instead of saying that, we should be saying, well, let's talk about the obesity epidemic we have in our country. Let's talk about the lifestyle illnesses. Let's talk about diet, because sugar really hurts the immune system when you eat too much of it. Let's talk about exercise instead of locking people down. Let's talk about how much sunlight folks are getting, especially the elderly, instead of saying, stay inside and be scared. Right? We're not having these real conversations. And Governor Pritzker needs a health consultation just as much as the next guy. And he shouldn't be preaching about face masks over people's faces and lockdowns. Poor man, I pray for him.
I'm not going to go that far, sorry. but not because of this, but simply because of the other things that have gone on in Illinois. And I do believe that the people who have perished as a result of COVID have had comorbidities. They also have had the wrong kind of treatment. When you put a ventilator down somebody's throat who's having a difficult time breathing, you're going to kill them, plain and simple. Ventilators are used during surgery where they're monitored, where their oxygen intake is monitored. And for people to arbitrarily stick a ventilator down somebody's throat who is having difficulty is a death sentence.
It is a death sentence. I unfortunately had a loved one pass this Thanksgiving, shortly after Thanksgiving. He got the same treatment protocol that killed 40,000 other Americans this year, at least. For whatever reason, these treatments that work have been politicized, and these treatments that don't work have been politicized, and we just can't have a real conversation about it. And especially right now, the idea of being in a hospital without having your loved ones next to you, able to advocate for you, this is a terrible situation to be in. When you can't have a loved one advocating for you a little bit, and you might not have the right frame of mind to advocate for yourself a little bit, it can be quite hard to tell a doctor, it's not time for a ventilator, sir. I have a different option. And luckily, I have another loved one in the hospital around the same time. He refused the ventilator. He came up with an alternate method. He had done his reading a little bit. He had figured it out. And he actually stormed out of that hospital and went somewhere where he could get different treatment. Good for him. How many people can do that? To yell in the face of a team of doctors and say, you will not kill me here today. You are not going to intubate me. 83 blood oxygen level. He put his pants on. He stumbled out that hospital, holding onto the wall to stand up. And he said, I'm going to go home. I'm going to figure this out. And they're not going to ventilate me in this place the way they did to 40,000 other Americans this year. Good for him. I agree with you, Deanna.
Oh, that is just remarkable. I've read Gary Null and several other people. The hospitals are probably the most dangerous place to be if you're ill, because there's 5G. 5G is all over you. They don't look at your records. You're liable to get the wrong medication. Even if your records say you're allergic to something, you could get it. The wrong medications are often given. More people die from allopathic treatment than people realize. And yet, as Dr. Daniel said, there's no yellow tape around a hospital. Nobody talks about it because hospitals have this aura about them that, oh, if you're sick, you need to be there. No, stay away from the hospital. And get 20 minutes of sunshine every day.
You know, that sunshine, that's underrated. During these lockdowns especially. And in Face Masks in One Lesson, I go into this a little of just kind of the necessary need for individual approaches, not one-size-fits-all solutions. And this here, in that concept right there, is the difference between something called public health and something called medicine. And I don't mean to say all medicine is perfect. There's many problems with medicine. But the concept behind medicine, the ideal, is individual doctor and individual patient working together against the world for the benefit of the patient. That's the ideal of medicine. It goes back 2,500 years at least to the Hippocratic Oath. And then there's this other idea. Comes along in the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, along with a bunch of other bad political ideas at the time, from Marxism to all kinds of screwy ideas that emerged at that time. You have this idea of public health, which is almost like a Marxist version of medicine, almost like a utilitarian version of medicine. And this is the total opposite of medicine. It isn't saying patient and doctor against the world. It's not saying that. It's saying, oh, how do we vote on what happens to this patient? How does everyone get a say in what happens to this patient? How do we have a plebiscite on whether grandma gets to survive this week or not? Right? This is, public health would never admit that that's what it's about, but this is, at its deepest roots, this is what public health is about. It's philosophically bankrupt, and it's an accounting system where it says grandma is worth one util alive, two utils dead. Well, we know what we're going to do to grandma then. And for the first time ever in American history, we have a specific group of technocrats called the public health professionals, and they've always existed, not always, for some time they've existed in the 3,000 plus counties in the United States, and no one has ever needed to hear about them because they're so largely invaluable in so many ways. No one's ever needed to know about them. No one ever had to ask about them until this year, when suddenly it became this notion that they were to run our society now. And if you ever wanted to know what would happen to a society if you put public health professionals in charge, unable to be questioned, look at society 2020 in the United States, where this corona communism implemented upon us.
Right. And this really started, health used to be something that was a natural kind of thing. People knew how to take care of their bodies. I believe in the ancient Chinese methods where you work with your meridians, your immune system, your all of those things that they used. And then a group of people decided about 1910, after the Flexner Report, that everything would be changed, and that they would do away with natural health remedies and use cut, poison, and burn methods. And you have a lot of conditions in your book. Your book is very comprehensive. You talk about asthma. You talk about COPD, panic attacks, all kinds of things. And the fact that a lot of people don't breathe properly, and they don't know they don't breathe properly. People are supposed to breathe through their nose, not through their mouth. And many people over the last several decades have been breathing through their mouths. You eat through your mouth, you breathe through your nose. You don't switch them. Because when you breathe through your mouth, all of the garbage, all of the bacteria, everything goes right into your lungs. It isn't filtered. It goes in cold. When you breathe through your nose, your nose filters it. Your nose warms up that breath so that when it reaches your lungs, it's not going to affect the health of your lungs. You're not going to be getting COPD. You're not going to be getting asthma. Probably panic attacks isn't going to be something you're going to fight, or chronic lung ailments that you talk about. So just learning how to breathe is a very, very good thing to learn how to do. Just because you're alive doesn't mean you know how to breathe or you're doing it right. You need to breathe through your nose, period.
How wonderfully said. Look, people, hearing you speak about breath so beautifully, who knows, you may have read 40, 80 books over the years about the value of breath. I know there are people who have spent their lives studying how to breathe properly. And then just the idea, the arrogance that a public health professional who maybe has dealt with breath from three yoga classes at the local gym and no more is going to come along and say, oh, breath is so irrelevant that you must mask yourself. And not just you, person that I've never examined once, but all people must now mask themselves. Breath is so irrelevant.
Right. And it is a very big issue. And I can usually tell when I'm talking to somebody, even on the phone, I can usually tell if they're a mouth breather or a nose breather.
Ooh, how am I doing so far?
Good. but it is a problem. And you mentioned panic attacks, which people do have panic attacks. And a lot of it is associated with breathing. There was a time when I was a teenager that I had some panic attacks. And one of the old methods of taking care of panic attacks, and what happens is that you're under a great deal of stress, and so you start breathing more oxygen in than you need, and all of a sudden and what they used to do is put a paper bag over your head to limit the amount of oxygen you were taking in to stop the attack. That was the way they used to handle it.
Interesting. Did it work?
Yes, it did. But it doesn't help you stop having them. You have to really understand why you're having them, under the circumstances that you're having them, and learn how to breathe. If you learn how to breathe, you're not going to experience those kinds of situations. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back momentarily. All right, we are back with our first guest today, and he's written this fabulous, fabulous book that I hope that everyone will purchase. The name of the book is Face Masks in One Lesson. It's available wherever books are sold online, and I think really it's kind of a must-read book.
Deanna, thank you for saying it that way. That's very generous of you. You were calling the book shortly before the break. You said your book is very comprehensive. I appreciate you saying that. The book, you know, it's meant to be for those who are quick learners. It's got the first 10 or 15 pages, the first chapter is meant to be the lesson, and everything they need is really contained in there with try this technique, here's the kind of theory going on here, always make sure you get your local order so you can be familiar with it, because many, many people have not read their local orders, and even fewer politicians or people enforcing them have read those local orders. In many cases, no one has read those orders. They've only read the press releases attached to them. So things like that are really handled in that first chapter. And in 20 minutes, they could get everything they need out of that book, out of my book. For slow learners like me, I've accepted this about myself. There's people like me who, they might want to sit and read another 250 pages or so before they go out and live a more free life. And that would be for, it goes through, the grocery store, and it goes through the doctor's office, and it goes through
everything.
Work and school.
You've covered everything.
So that's there for people who need more. If you need more help, it's there. If you need less help, it's set up for you too. That's the idea there for face masks in one lesson.
Well, you have everything very succinctly labeled so that people can look up specifically what their particular interest is. You have what the CDC has stated. You have everything. You've included everything that anybody could want. And you, in the appendix, you have the CDC says face masks don't stop COVID. But how many people actually read what the CDC says? But you have included it. You have just, this is a fabulous book. Seriously.
Thank you.
You've just covered everything.
Thank you. I know something the book says, something that I feel strongly about, is that the face mask is it's a nice opportunity to kind of put on the training wheels a little bit. And there's people who don't need that. There's people who have gone to the airport for 20 years and have said, oh, the TSA wants me to put my hands up in the air in the I surrender pose. I'm not going to do that. And they figured out the loophole. They figured out how to never do that ever again. There's people who've been practicing all those years. And to them, the face mask is nothing. They don't need to practice with a face mask. They immediately saw a scam when they saw it. They recognized scam when they saw it. There's other people.
Right.
If you'll take if you'll wear the face mask, you'll take that vaccine, I fear. Now is the time to take a stand.
Yeah, you're so right. You are so right. And thank you so very much for being on the program today. It's been wonderful chatting with you. And I hope that we can do this again.
Deanna, thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care now. Alrighty, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back with our next guest.